Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hello, this is a special introduction to this episode of Luke's English Podcast. Before you listen to the recording in this episode, I would just like to warn you that this one contains material which you may find offensive, confusing, or just plain stupid, including failed attempts at humour, bad jokes, vague sexual innuendo, rude words, swearing, references to body parts, disgusting sound effects, and general behaviour which would definitely be inappropriate in polite company. The conversation that you're going to hear in this episode was recorded privately with friends in a very informal setting. It's not suitable for children. It's not really suitable for intelligent adults either, to be honest. I present it here with great reservation, against my better judgment, and with the understanding that some of you may find it puerile, unamusing, difficult to understand, offensive, or just plain unnecessary, and that publishing this episode may cause you to abandon Luke's English Podcast, throw your phone into a lake, or even spit on the ground in pure disgust. However, despite my reservations to that effect, I also realise there is probably a certain section of my audience who love a bit of filth and who would like nothing better than to listen in on a conversation between some English friends amusing themselves by talking crap together over a few beers. In fact, I publish this conversation with those members of my audience in mind. Are you bored of listening to safe English, which has had all the rudeness and humour removed from it? Are you fed up with being taught only the nice English, which you're supposed to speak, but which you suspect no native speakers actually use in their private lives? Do you ever have the lingering feeling that native English speakers present a clean version of their language to you in lessons, but in private, they speak rather a different form of the language, one that involves plenty of inappropriate and immature dirty jokes? Would you like to have the chance to sit down with some Londoners on a canal boat while they drink beer and talk nonsense without regard for the normal polite conventions of a language classroom or a business meeting? Well, if that is what you want, then all you have to do is to keep listening to this episode of Luke's English Podcast, which was recorded several weeks ago on a canal boat in North London with a group of slightly drunk idiots. Idiots who I am proud to call my friends, and the group which I happily consider myself to be a member. Welcome to Luke's English Podcast. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Luke's English Podcast. I've done episodes before in a house. I've done episodes in an apartment. I've done episodes at the beach. I've done episodes on a train. I've done episodes in a toilet on a train. I've done episodes in a car. This time, I'm doing an episode on a boat. Whoa! So, we join you now from this canal longboat. Is that the right expression?
Narrow boat. It's a narrow boat.
Right, so we're on a narrow boat. Why do they call it a narrow boat?
Because it's a boat. This is narrow.
Hey, okay, we're learning things already. So we're on a narrow boat. You know, in London there are like lots of canals. You might not know that, but as well as the river, a canal. I need to explain what a canal is. All right, Alex, do you want to do that?
It's got some water in and some locks and stuff.
Okay, it's got some water in and some locks, and it allows like sort of boats and stuff to go through the city.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Canals. So there's a whole system of canals.
Canal.
The canal.
And many people actually live on these narrow boats on the canal, and we're in a narrow boat right now, which is owned by Moz. So Moz, you bought a boat. What happened?
Got fed up of living in London. Bought a boat. It's lovely. It's 50 foot long. Ladies.
Okay, so Moz bought a boat. We'll find out about that, I think, in a little bit. But I'm joined here, actually, by Moz, of course, because it's his boat. We didn't just sort of break in. He knows that we're here. It's fine. So we've got Moz there. We've got Alex Love here on the left. Hello, Alex. How are you doing?
I'm all right, yeah.
Really? That's it?
Well, how would you like me to elaborate?
I want you to tell me exactly how you feel, emotionally, physically...
Spiritually as well?
Spiritually.
Emotionally, I'm stable. Physically, I'm well. I've taken up running recently to improve my energy levels. Spiritually, I'll find out when I die.
Yeah, okay. So you've been doing running?
Yeah. Just jogging around a lake, but yeah.
Jogging around a lake?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's fascinating. Why the lake? I mean, is that part of the routine?
Well, it's at the end of my road, so... Makes sense. It's
okay.
Because it's like a, you know, circuit.
It's just purely pragmatic. That's,
yeah.
That's just...
You can't walk on water.
Simple matter of fact, yeah. Have you tried jogging through the lake?
Not yet. I'm working on that, though. I'm waiting because of climate change, the water levels have actually receded significantly, so I'll be able to walk on the lake soon.
Okay. Right, so we've got Alex Love there, who's just recently started jogging around a lake, which is fine. I mean, that's fine.
I do other things as well. I don't just do that all 8 hours a day, you know.
Oh, all right. So you're actually doing other things.
Yeah. I'm still doing comedy, so don't worry, fans. Still doing that.
Okay, good. So Alex Love, who's doing comedy and running around a lake. Okay. So on the right here, we've got Mr. Paul Langton, who you've heard from before. Hello, Paul. How are you? What exactly is your condition and everything? I want you to tell me everything. Okay? Good. Paul, come back. Come back, please. Paul has just actually left the boat in shame because he has to fart. Okay, do I have to explain what a fart is? I think, Alex, I think you should explain that.
Well, we could try the noise.
Yeah, make the noise.
Right. We can do it on our hands like this.
Hang on, we can...
No, I can't.
No. That's rubbish.
That was awful.
Okay.
That's one of those.
No.
Right.
And that good news is you covered up him as well.
Okay. So... we now know exactly what Paul intended to do when he left the boat. I suppose it's a good thing he did leave. I mean, we know what he's doing, but at least we can't smell it. That would be much worse, wouldn't it? You know, I mean, the thing about the fart is it comes from two angles. It's like a double punch, isn't it? Because the whole knowledge that someone is farting is rude. Like, oh, he's farting. Oh, dear. But also, secondary to that is the smell... aspect as well. It catches you on it in a moral sense and in a purely physical sensory sense as well.
I have a fact about farts. If you farted continuously for 6 years and 9 months, you generate enough energy for an atomic bomb.
If you farted continuously for how long?
6 years and 9 months.
6 years and 9 months, you produce enough energy to create an atomic bomb. To power an atomic bomb, okay. Well, I farted into a cushion for about one day once, and that cushion was lethal afterwards, I can tell you. So we're also joined here on Moz's boat by Dave.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thanks. And I speak for the listeners as well there, because I'm sure there's no way they could not be fine listening to this. This is golden stuff indeed. So Dave, you're Moz's neighbour, is that right?
Well, I am for a few days until, you know, he annoys me or farts too loudly, and I'll move. It's as simple as that.
Okay. So I believe that Dave's boat is like moored. You're both moored here.
Moored,
yes?
M-A-U-D.
The term is double-breasted.
Okay, double-breasted, which is a term which describes the fact that one boat is sort of parked. What do you call the side of the canal?
You're quite wrong. It's because we're two tits.
because they're two tits. It's double-breasted because they're two tits. Okay, that's good. That's good.
Le bosom. Yes. Le bosom, as the French would say.
Okay. But you're actually... you're both parked here at the side of the canal.
Moored.
Moored, not parked.
Moored,
okay. M-O-O-R-E-D. Yes, right, okay. The boats are moored here.
And if you're moored, you need something to moor on.
You need something to moor on.
Yeah.
Right. Like what?
Well, a bollard or a ring.
And you found Moz. So you need a bollard or a ring. So, okay.
Plain ring.
Okay, we're getting more and more suggestive all the time. The innuendos are sort of like, yes.
What about moorhens?
Moorhens. Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm putting the brakes on this now, okay? Just hold on a minute. Okay, so we heard about...
He's ducking the question.
I'm not. I'm going to come back to the question. I'm going to come back to the question about moorhens. We had, how do you moor a boat? You need a, what, a bollard?
And a mooring ring.
And a mooring ring. So I suppose you put the ring around the bollard.
No.
No?
No, the rope in the ring.
Put the rope in the ring.
You put your big rope in the ring.
And then tie a knot.
And then you tie a knot. And okay, and that's how you moor a boat. Fine. Yeah. And the two, you two have got boats moored next to each other.
We've got matching rings.
Okay. You've already found out about each other's rings.
Are we going to explain euphemisms?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I want euphemism and I want innuendo. I want you to explain those two.
Innuendo,
yes. Innuendo and euphemism. Okay.
Well, English is a non-inflected Indo-European language.
What?
I nicked that from Blackadder. But to explain, innuendo, okay. It's when you say something which comes across as straight and normal and true, but it's not. It's sexual in tone. Hence, we said mooring ring, and we meant anus.
Thank you, Moz. Thanks for clarifying that. So it was a very, very frank and clear description, using all the language without any sense of shame at all, just throwing any old dirty word into the sentence there.
Throwing any dirty word.
But you've got to remember that being on a boat, toilets are our main topic.
Okay, I guess you do have to deal with toilet issues on the boat. Tell us about the toilet, Moz. Go into some detail about the difficulties that you have with the toilet, okay?
In a normal house, you would normally do doo-doo, which we call poo-poo, into a toilet. And then you flush it, and it goes down into a sewer. But on a boat, you can't flush it into, like, the canal. So it goes into a big tank. And anyone who's turned up at my house or boat, I've said, you can't doo-doo because I'm a tightwad, and I don't want them to poo. So I make them poo elsewhere.
Right. You actually encourage people to do a little toilet break before arriving at the boat. That's your plan.
Yeah.
You actually wrote that in an email to me. You're like, I'd just like, in a very formal tone, I would just like to remind all the visitors to sip kiss the canal barge that all pooing and urinating should be done in advance of the trip.
Can I just say, I'm not so tight. If you want to use my toilet, feel free. Number ones, number twos, whatever you like.
Number threes.
I'm loaded up with Andrex. Sorry. No problem at all.
Could I ask Alex to explain number three, please?
Okay, right. You need to explain a number one, number two, and a number three. Go.
It depends on... Well, obviously, number one, it's established, is a wee, a urine. Yeah, and number two is obviously a poo. Number three can be, it can be two things. It can either be, some people describe it as vomit, but other people will describe it as ejaculating.
Oh.
Right.
I would explain number three as being both a number two and a number one, because I am not as disgusting as Alex Love.
Oh, I see. So you think it's just a combination of the number one and the number two at the same time. But don't you always, when you do a number two, don't you always do a number one as well?
I am of Irish stock, and we do not do a number one standing, sitting down, sorry. We don't do a number one. We do a number two sitting down. We do a number one standing up.
And that's because of your religious beliefs?
No, mostly because we've forgotten to sit down.
Okay, right.
That's my religious beliefs, which are the same as Paul Langton's religious beliefs, because we both share the same Messiah.
Wait a minute, Mars. Last time you were on this podcast, I think that you claimed that you were God. Don't you remember that?
God, yeah.
You claimed to be an all-powerful deity. So how's that going?
Great, I own all of you. You are my bitches. Luke will now explain what bitches means.
Oh, God, really? I have to explain what that means? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, right, you're in safe hands now, because I'm going to explain this in a very clear, matter-of-fact way. Right, so, Moz said, you are all my bitches, right? Yeah, okay, a bitch can be three things. One thing is it's a female dog. Right, that's the basic meaning of it, right? But it's used to mean sometimes a woman, right?
Salope in French.
Salope in French, really? Okay. So it's used to refer to a woman, yeah. And there's sort of two uses in which it's used. The old-fashioned use of calling someone a bitch was to say that she was really mean, really horrible woman, right? But also, it's now used in sort of.
Have you met my wife?
It's also used in like hip hop stuff to mean as a sort of derogatory term for a woman as a possession, yeah. Right? Okay, so if you say you're all my bitches, it's like saying I own all of you, sort of thing. So and that's the fourth sort of ironic way in which it's used, don't you think?
Sorry, the boat just rocked.
Yeah, the boat is now rocking from side to side.
Are we broadcasting Radio Caroline from here? Is this pirate radio? Out in the North Sea.
Feels like it. Just to explain to the audience, Mr. Paul Langton came down from the bow of the boat, from the gunwales onto the bow, and he's coming into the cabin, and that rocked the boat quite heavily to the right.
He thought it was a tsunami, but it isn't.
It was a Sue Lawley. Thank you very much.
Oh, God, right. Sue Lawley was a TV presenter in the 1980s. That's all that happened there. Okay, so...
She was from Hales Owen, which is near Birmingham, and she's lost her accent completely. She went posh.
She did, didn't she? She went posh.
She should sound like, good old, I'm from Birmingham. It's great here, isn't it?
Yeah, my name's Sue Lawley. I'm from, like, the Midlands and that, you know what I mean? Just...
yeah. Can I just point out that I'm a Brummie?
Yeah.
Can I point out that I'm a Brummie as well?
I'm a Brummie too, and so's my wife.
Right, so we've got three Brummies in this room. Now, I count myself as sort of pretty much Brummie, but not completely. I mean, I lived in... From 9 years old, I lived in Solihull.
Solihull is Brummie.
Right, okay.
You're a posh Brummie.
I'm a posh Brummie, but I'm a Brummie.
Brummie.
Right, okay. All right, so and you're a Brummie as well, Mars.
I was born in Smethwick.
Right.
I'm a scumbag.
Okay. Dave, you're a Brummie.
I'm a Brummie. I was born in Staffordshire, but I lived all my life in either Sutton Coldfield or Bromsgrove.
Yeah, you're a proper Brummie. Yes. Sutton Coldfield. Sutton Coldfield.
Can I just say, for a part of my life, I lived in Smethwick, and no one nicked me car. That's all I can say.
All right. Now, Langton.
Yes.
Are you a Brummie? Are you a Brummie? Are you a Brummie? Are you a Brummie?
No, I'm quite cultured, so I can't be a Brummie. I was actually born. I'm a Londoner. I'm from the great city of London, not a Cockney, Because I wasn't born within the sound of Bow Bells.
Can you do the Lambeth Walk?
I can't do the Lambeth Walk because I'm not a Cockney. Although, if you are a Cockney, you can't do a Lambeth Walk because it's two complete different areas of London.
Hey.
So, yes, basically, to be a Cockney, to be an official Cockney, you have to be born within the sound of Bow Bells, which is a church which is in Bow in East London, which is has a 2 mile radius of its ring. another example of a euphemism. But within the ring of the bell itself, everyone who's born within the ring of the bell, Bow's Church, is a Cockney. Anyone who's not born within the ring is a Londoner. I myself am a Londoner. I was not born within a ring.
Right, Jesus. Loaded. Loaded with euphemism. But at least we know where these gentlemen. We know where these gentlemen come from. So we got, let's say.
I actually think that he is Lord of the Ring. He's like my precious.
Okay, we're delving.
He's far too tall to be a hobbit, though, and he hasn't got hairy feet.
So we're now comparing Paul Langton to a hobbit from The Lord of the Rings. Since we've been talking about rings, let's talk about The Lord of the Rings. Okay, that's quite a good topic. Before we go into that, though, I want to ask Alex where he's from. So we've got Brummies. I mean, I'm pretty kind of a Brummy, not a Cockney, a Londoner. And Alex. And yes, Dave?
Sorry, what you've got to remember is it was written around Birmingham, wasn't it?
Lord of the Rings.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings was written in the Warwickshire area, I believe.
The Licky Hills.
Okay, so Tolkien was writing that stuff in the Midlands.
That's where he lived.
So it's all about Brummies in this episode. Tolkien, Moz, Dave, me, kind of, pretty much. Londoner over here. And Alex. Alex, what about you? What are you?
Well, first I'm a human being from the planet Earth.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I'm just a human being from planet Earth, man. It's just one consciousness, you know? Yeah, so you're a human being from planet Earth.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, you've done your research.
Is that it? You can't get more specific?
No, I can get more specific.
Can I ask? Because I can see he's got a Stroud Brewery T-shirt on. So he's, can I just say from the outside, I've never met you before, correct? I've never met you before. I'd say you're from Gloucestershire.
Correct.
Right, and you can read and write, and you can drive a tractor.
Two of those things are correct. Three out of four is correct. I am from Stroud in Gloucestershire. I've lived there all my life, apart from the past 4 years.
Where's Gloucestershire?
Southwest England. I was born in Bristol.
It's just to the right of Wales, isn't it, kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of near Richmond.
Yeah, so it's near Wales. And, I can confirm that I can read and I can write, but I cannot drive a tractor.
Okay. I bet you could drive a tractor.
If I could. I could learn, certainly. Yeah. You know.
It's like you have the physical capability
of
driving a tractor.
At the moment, I mean, I wouldn't be confident in my ability to drive a tractor. I'd need, you know, a couple of days training first.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it depends on the size of the tractor.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, if it's a ride-on lawnmower, I'd be quite confident in that. But, you know, the bigger the tractor, then... Yeah,
like an 18-wheeler, you know, it's going to be at least 4 days of training, basic training. That was a little bit boring.
I was just wondering, our audience knows us quite well, but do they remember our highlights?
What do you mean, your highlights?
The colour of my hair. Thank you very much.
I don't think that's what you mean. What do you mean, highlights?
Well, I mean, your audience, your fan base, know us over the many years from such great podcasts as the Drunk Podcast, Brighton Podcast
sorry,
1.
Sorry, isn't this on the Drunk Podcast?
This is Drunk Podcast 2.
Slightly less drunk than the last one, actually.
Yes. I'm not babbling like a baby. I do apologise for that one.
For the listener, the guy next to me sounds a little bit like... Well, he looks a little bit like Phil Collins.
Yeah, he's got... I can feel it calling in the air tonight. Oh, Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, Phil Collins was a drummer who got really lucky, even though he couldn't sing, and became the lead singer of Genesis. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Right. He also did a bit of acting, and he actually had a small role in the 1991 film Hook.
Really?
Yeah.
The Steven Spielberg
I was in Buster.
Film.
Buster.
He was in a film called Buster as well. Okay, how did we get on to talking about what film? But Phil Collins,
Train Robbery.
The podcast has swerved off course. Someone left the tracks aligned in the wrong direction. We're thundering into a forest right now. We're going to talk about Lord of the Rings.
No, we were talking about where the audience know us from previously, what we've done before.
Okay, so yes, the guys have been on the Brighton Fringe Festival podcasts 1, 2, and 3.
Dave wasn't
on that. No.
I wasn't invited.
He wasn't invited. We didn't know him. We didn't even know he existed at that point.
I didn't turn up, did I?
No, you weren't there. You were late. You didn't get the email. We also did the Friday Night Banter, the drunk episode, and now this one as well, which I think I might call On a Boat.
Clever.
Or On a Long Boat. Narrow boats
are the Viking thing.
Yes. Oh, Viking longboats.
You need a drummer. You need a drummer like Phil Collins going dung 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 dung, and that you have to keep rowing and you're in chains and everything, and but apparently it's quite awful.
Yeah, those are the Viking longboats with Phil Collins drumming on the back. And then you've got narrow boats, which are these boats on a canal. Let's talk about the narrow boat, okay? Let's have a little look at the narrow boat. So, Alex, could you just describe some of the things that you can see around us here and the surroundings?
I can see some curtains. Mm-hmm. Curtains are things you put over a window to keep the light out.
Okay, what's light?
The light is the opposite of dark.
Okay, what's dark?
Dark's when you can see nothing.
Okay, all right. I think. So just tell us about the cabin again.
Well, there's we're sitting on a sofa next to a table. A table is things you put objects on and eat at. And then there's a fire as well in the corner. It's a fireplace. It's not on fire. I don't know.
There's a fire in the corner. No,
I don't want listeners to be concerned by our safety. We're not, you know, we're all right. We're perfectly safe.
Can I just say, I think Alex is the worst estate agent for narrowboats I've ever heard.
Okay. Dave, what I'd like you to do, as the proud owner of a narrowboat, what I'd like you to do is give us the sales pitch for this narrowboat, okay? You're going to sell to the audience. Imagine you've got the ears of the world. They're ready to spend their money on a narrow boat in London. And you're going to give the prime sales pitch for this amazing movable property. Okay? So, Dave, with the sales pitch about the narrow boat, let's go.
Well, this is a very tidy boat indeed. And looking through the keyhole, we've got a beautiful stove there. And in the winter, it gets rather warm. But the current owner doesn't know because he hasn't had it that long. But
42 degrees.
We reckon we can get up to 42 degrees, and that's centigrade for you in the Commonwealth. He's got a load of coal here. He's got it stacked up. I reckon he's got enough for, I reckon, till about next March. Looking through, he's got a lovely tiled fireplace with a nice bit of wicker basket here. I'm just going to open the wicker basket and find out what's in there. It's a skull. It might have been a dead body. I don't know. We've already heard about the curtains, and they are particularly nice because they do match the rest of the furnishings here. I've not gone as far as the toilet, but I believe it's beautiful, and you're not allowed in there. There's a kitchen. I can see a kettle, loads of books. I can see an iPod waiting to be turned on. I reckon there might be a little bit of soul music there for the ladies later on, and it's really lovely. For anybody who doesn't know, a narrowboat means it's less than 2 metres wide. It's 2 metres 10 wide. And I reckon your boat is around about 50 foot?
Just shy, 49.8.
So that's about 14 metres. So my boat's next door and it's much bigger, by the way.
Ladies.
It's 20 metres long, and I've got a washing machine on there, which obviously is very useful for you. And iron and hot and cold running everything, but there we go. You better take the microphone.
Okay, thank you very much, Dave, for the sales pitch there for this fantastic floating home, which could be yours. Just dial 09949979. Don't dial 999 together, you'll get the police. Anyway, right, so I must ask you, Mars, the last time you were on this podcast, you were living on dry land. You hadn't become a sailor. And you were living a, you know, otherwise normal life. But then somewhere between then and now, you decided, you know what? I'm going to buy a boat. And you bought a boat, and then you decided to live on it. And basically, all right, tell us about your life on the boat. Why did you decide to buy a boat and then live on a boat?
Well, I'd lived in London for about 15 years, got bored of... London's very expensive. If you come to London, it's three or four times more expensive than a regular place in London. I spent...
In England?
Yeah, well, I bought a flat for £215,000, which is a rip-off. But now
it's
I've bought
€1.
Uno euro,
okay,
but,
or 60 drachma.
That's true. Yeah, or four hookers.
Two. All right. Thank you for that. £215,000. Okay, which is a lot for, you know.
A very small flat, one bedroom flat in Ealing. But now I own a 50-foot boat, which is wood panelled with a stove and central heating and a shower, a toilet, a double bed, and a fold-out bed and a full kitchen for £26,000.
Never tell them about the second bed.
So wait a minute. You've got two beds. You've got like a living. You've got a living room. You've got a kitchen. You've got showers. You've got central heating. You've got a stove. You've got a kitchen. You've got the toilets and everything. You've got a full home. It's like a one-bedroom apartment sort of thing. But it's and the thing is that you can just cruise around through London, and the canal stretches through large parts of London. There's amazing places like the place that we're in now, which is known as Little Venice. Very Little Venice.
What's a Big Venice?
Big Venice is just Venice, isn't it?
Explain.
Well, Venice, we know, is that city in northern Italy, which is so famous for the fact that it doesn't have any cars or streets. It just has canals.
Just look up. I mean, there's Michelangelo just there, you know, and there's Winston Churchill, actually.
Dave is actually now referring to the decorations in Moz's place.
Sky. The sky.
Which guy?
No, the sky.
Oh, right. Hey, thank you. I'm here all week. Anyway, so you've got everything in this place, and you can float around. Where have you lived in London then? Because you can just live in all over the city now.
Yeah, I moved from Northampton, which is in the middle of the country. It's one of the largest counties in Great Britain, but it's one of the most boring. And then I moved down from London to here, which is great.
So you actually moved by just travelling through the canal network, basically, yeah?
Yeah, no, and the great thing about London is if you've got a canal boat, you can kind of live wherever you want to live, as long as you're there for like 14 days. And then there's a stipulation that you've got to move on. So I'm moving my way across London, kind of like an itinerant, but with a big boat.
Big boat, right?
How can I say, as an itinerant, you smell lovely.
Okay. All right. So how's it been then? Like, how's it been now living your life on a boat? What are the advantages and what are the disadvantages of this mobile life that you now have?
It's very different. I got rid of my telly. I got rid of my DVD player. I got rid of most of my DVDs. I got rid of my... All I have actually in this boat is a laptop. So I have access to the internet once in a blue moon, and I download some TV, and that's it. But I don't watch TV anymore, and I don't know what's going on in the news unless I really look.
How does it feel to be kind of cut off like that?
It's quite good. A mate of mine is an artist, and he hasn't watched telly since, well, the last 4 or 5 years. And I spoke to him recently, and I said, "What, you don't listen to the news?" And he went, "No." And I said, "So, do you know who Barack Obama is?" And he did not know.
No.
Because he does not listen to the news.
But you can't avoid knowing who Barack Obama is.
He doesn't listen to the news. He doesn't read newspapers. He doesn't do anything that... So
he didn't even look at his Twitter feed.
No. He doesn't have a Twitter feed. He doesn't have a laptop. He doesn't have anything. He does not know who Barack Obama
is. Was this a dream?
No. And also he doesn't know who the current Prime Minister is.
What?
I asked about David Cameron, he did not know.
What? That's amazing.
But that's the good thing, is that he turned around to me and said, like 90% of what he listens to on the news does not relate to him. If you think about it, like what has happened today? We've got a plane crash in the Ukraine, but it does not relate to anyone. Sorry, let's explain what's going on.
I've kind of lost the thread here. What were we talking about?
Alex was showing something.
We're talking about the news, and I've heard about the plane
being
crash.
Cut off by living on the sort of boat without the TV, without the TV, and how it feels with living without a TV.
But I'm not completely cut off. I haven't had my telly on since the last Top Gear, you know. But I know what's going on. I've got the internet. I can see. And I think it's better, actually, not watching the television, because they water it down so much. It's a bit sort of
dumbed down,
you know. And, you know, I walked past the BBC this week, and there was a massive Gaza demonstration outside.
Gaza?
Gaza, not Paul Gascoigne. No, Gaza, not. The Gaza Strip, for goodness sake.
Well, apparently they want him back at Tottenham Hotspur, but anyway, you know, will that have made the news? No, it won't. It all gets filtered and watered down, and if you see your news from what's going on in other places, I think you're better off.
Will people on the podcast know about the fact that we were mentioning it today because we're boaters, we live on canal boats, and there's been a big accident on the Thames today.
Really?
There was a boat that was carrying... This is not a joke, this is not a punchline. Just so Luke knows, because Luke can see my face smirking, but it's not a punchline. There was a cargo-carrying boat which was carrying like 20... steel containers that shippers use, but there's also a boat which takes tourists across the Thames, and the tourist boat crashed into the shipping boat, and it's got badly damaged and people have got whiplash, but it wasn't commented on because it wasn't as important as the air crash in the Ukraine.
Oh, I see. Right.
But we're literally, what, a mile away from it, maybe 2 miles it. So, and it's barely mentioned even on the local news. So
so this big thing has happened in London, but it hasn't been covered in the news because they're focusing on the international story. I see. Right. The plot thickens.
And the other news was the moorhens just up the road have hatched out.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful stuff.
My
listeners at this point are thinking to themselves, what happened? Why are they clapping? What did he say? He said the moorhens have hatched. Okay, right, so moorhens are... What's a moorhen, Alex? Can you tell me?
I can tell you. It's like a duck, but it's black and it has very long legs.
Red beak,
yeah, and it kind of walks around a lot.
It's got bits of rope at each end of it, so you can tie itself to the bank at night.
Moorhen.
Moorhen. Yeah. Moorhen. Oh, dear. A moorhen.
I've got a joke here. Sometimes they just call themselves a hen to leave the audience wanting more.
Can we just explain that Alex Love has a show at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival called How Not to Win a How to Win a Pub Quiz.
Yeah. Right, so Alex Love, is a comedian.
I'll just say another thing. Many years ago, when I was a child, I used to read a book by Arthur Ransom called Coot Club. He did swallows and Amazons. And they're really rare birds called coots. We've got hundreds of the buggers up here. I mean, they're supposed to be rare, but, I mean, they might have been in 1935, but they've done well. They've done very well. The coot is... same as a moorhen, slightly bigger, with a white beak.
Yeah. So the moorhen is a sort of it's not a wader, is it? It's not really it's not classed as a wader, but it's sort of a similar family to the duck.
More of a paddler.
It's like they paddle around. They're little, small, and black. And the moorhens have got a red beak. The coots have got a white beak. Boom, there you go. And they live around you, basically.
Oh, yes.
These really quite beautiful little birds are living all around the boats.
And they're tasty as well.
And they're tasty too.
No, I haven't eaten one. Sorry, I haven't eaten one.
I'm sure you haven't eaten one. I think that, in fact, may even be illegal. It's illegal to eat swans, isn't it?
Eat swans.
Unless you're the queen. The queen can eat swans, I believe.
The queen owns all the swans, yeah. I think.
There was a Turkish man recently who beheaded a swan and then put it into his rucksack because he didn't realise it was illegal. Only the queen can eat mute swans.
Okay, mute swans are the sort of typical swans that you see
floating around, are they not?
Yeah, they're called mute swans, but they actually do make a noise. I heard one the
if
other day.
If you kick one in the bollocks, they make a grunt noise.
Like that. No, they go, it's a weird noise. They go, but that's about as much as they make.
The other thing is, when they actually take off, their wings are going faster than the speed of sound, so you get a whip noise, and that's what scares everybody. But it's a wing going faster than the speed of sound.
Really? Isn't it true that a swan can break your arm? You know, there's this old wisdom that everyone, whenever anyone has a conversation about a swan, there's always someone who pipes up and goes, oh yeah, they can break your arm with their wing, a swan, they've got a very strong wing, break your arm. Why is it that people always say that?
They can also break the bank at Monte Carlo as well.
Really? Yeah. We should take them to Vegas. They'd be useful. They could break it into anything. Right, so the boating life is good. You were going to tell me about the advantages and disadvantages, no?
The boating life is really rubbish and nobody else do it because we don't want to encourage any more people on here. It is horrible. In the winter, we're so cold. We've got candles, and when it gets really cold, we light them.
I think I got a dysentery.
You got dysentery? Dysentery is like a medieval gastric disease.
Yeah.
You got dysentery from me?
I got scabies and scurvy.
What? You got all these infectious diseases on this boat?
And don't forget, you get Wiles disease off rats.
Yeah.
Oh, it's horrible. Don't come. Oh, I'm covered in warts. I mean, luckily this isn't television. You can see I'm just covered head to toe in rash.
My God, they're like two fucking canal trolls. These two wart-ridden, infected guys in front of me. How do we get off this boat, Alex?
It's horrible.
Going through the door and to get on the bank.
Okay. Alex, always the voice of calm, the voice of reason. Yeah. So we've heard some of the advantages, some of the disadvantages of life on a boat.
I was going to explain to, because originally Luke, as you call him, Luke Johnson.
Luke Johnson, is that?
Luke was coming over from France. And I offered him a place on the boat to stay. But unfortunately, Luke Johnson likes to have 15 showers a week, minimum. And
does he need them?
He does. Well, actually, if you look at Luke, that's not his real skin. That's actually he had his skin stripped off, and that's a wetsuit. And basically, he lives in kind of a perpetual state of moisture.
That's very interesting.
Explain that.
That's a very interesting assessment there that you've presented for me, Mons, which could quite possibly be on the internet now forever for everyone to access. If people wanted to find out all about me, they could listen to this, and they would listen to your description. Someone might write that, in fact, as a transcript. Someone might be listening to this and transcribing every word, and they're going to write that down, and it'll be...
Genesis did a track called The Slipper Man, which I'm picturing now, which I always thought about The Slipper Man as being somebody sort of wet-skinned like a walrus or a seal.
Really? So you're saying that I'm a walrus or a seal?
Or you might be the Eggman.
Or I could be the Eggman, Cuckoo Kajoo. Okay.
I think you need to explain that.
Okay, I need to...
Explain
all right. Okay, I can... Paul.
Aqua once did a track called Dr. Jones. I think Luke is like Dr. Jones.
Oh, you mean I'm like Indiana Jones? Yeah. All right, I'm going to come back to the whole thing that you just said there and explain all of it, all right? If I could just remember.
Dr. Jones, Dr.
No, don't do me the Dr. Jones thing. Dr. Jones. You've made me forget. You can make me forget. What did you just say?
Walrus or
seal? Walrus. Okay, I've got it. Moz initially offered to let me sleep in this boat when I said that I would be coming to London. And he said to me, you'll only get one shower a week or something. And I was like, no way. I need a shower. I need a regular shower. Moz took that to mean that I take 15 showers a day. a day or a week or something. And then he decided that I, in fact, constantly live in a state of showered moisture. And he designed in his mind some kind of sort of exoskeleton that would keep me moist inside.
Like Daryl Hannah in the film Splash.
Like Daryl Hannah in the film Splash.
Your nipples excrete like...
Yes, okay, thanks. Thanks very much for that. I don't think
any
we need to edit that out.
You know, like a windscreen wipe on a car. You know, it sprays out the...
Right, right, okay.
How come that made its way in? Basically,
I expect that... I hope that my listeners are not able to pick up on every little rude joke.
Luke spouts like a blue whale.
Okay, I really hope that you're not able to pick up on every little bit of humour that these guys are throwing in here randomly. It's mostly rude stuff, very crude, very unsophisticated. But, you know, but this is... This is just the way that you let off some steam. Now, I had a question, actually, from a listener. Where's my bag?
That's a seal noise.
Yeah, someone's clapping like a seal. I'm going to pause this for a second. Okay, so I found the question from a listener, and it's on Facebook. Earlier today I posted the status update. Later today I'm seeing my comedy mates Alex, Paul and Moz from the Brighton Fringe Festival podcast. I'm planning to talk to them on the podcast. Do you have any questions for them? If yes, write them in the comments section. 1,193 people saw the post. 9 people liked it. Aww.
Nine
people out of 1,193.
10 people. Come on.
One person commented.
You can
see that the interest here in you guys is really overflowing.
That one person means a lot to us.
It's quality.
Do you want to know who it is? Do you want to know the name of this wonderful human?
Wilson.
It's not Philip Wilson, but would you like to know who this one? Calm down. Stop shouting on the podcast. Remember what I said earlier on?
No.
Raise your hand to get the attention for the microphone. Okay, let's get this under control. Are you ready to find out? Yes, Dave.
Is it Doris Stokes? Not once for yes, twice for no.
I like his style.
Okay, all right. So the name of the person who commented is Mr. Hiroshi Maruyama.
I remember that name. I think he might have watched us listened to us when we did the Brighton podcast out on the beach.
I think that Hiroshi probably did comment on that, because Hiroshi Maruyama is a long-term listener to Luke's English podcast.
Exactly.
Paul Langton.
It's lovely to hear a question from you again. Let's answer that question, Luke. What was the question?
Okay, I'm just opening Facebook here on my my Samsung mobile phone. I'm not plugging it. I was about to say how slow it is. Literally on this phone now, you press an icon, you wait about 10 seconds, and then it goes to a black screen, and you get a black screen for a while, and then the app then says sorry, it's not responding, and then you have to just start again.
Sounds like my sex life.
Like Paul's sex life. You touch it, and then 10 seconds later, nothing happens. Yeah. It's like your sex life.
Yeah. I've got some blue pills for that. Bloke in the pub sold them, tenner each.
Okay, so...
pub, alcoholic beverage, tenner, 10 English pounds sterling.
Can I ask, was the person you bought the pills off Pelé?
Why, does Pelé sell pills? Be careful what you say, he's a national icon.
Pelé is actually an ambassador for the erectile dysfunction charities in the South American region. So we're not actually insulting him, but we do feel that he has sold out against FIFA and he's scum. Good night.
You can't have a go at Pelé on the podcast.
It goes out to our listeners in Brazil. Hi.
Seriously, you can't have a pop at Pelé, all right? Right, now, Hiroshi Maruyama has written questions, bespoke, specially designed questions for each of you. I'm afraid, Dave, there's no question.
Can we assign one today?
Yeah, we'll give a...
Ask all the questions today.
Well, all right, wait.
Ask all the questions
today. Okay, well, I will at the end, okay.
Make one up.
So, guys, please stay under control. Radio conditions, okay? All right, the first question is for Alex.
Oh, okay.
And Hiroshi asks, Alex, what is the... happiest moment that you had yesterday?
What was the happiest moment?
So, treat the question with respect. What's the happiest moment that you had yesterday?
What's the happiest moment I had yesterday? That's a good question, Hiroshi. As a former journalist, I'm impressed by your skills to throw the old curveball there. Curveball is something related to baseball, when you throw a ball that is deliberately designed to throw someone off their game.
So it's a ball that literally curves in the air, a curveball. So it's like an unexpected move.
Yeah, and that was my happiest moment yesterday when I saw someone throw a curveball. Right. In my park.
Someone threw a curveball in your park, and that's your happiest moment?
Happiest moment, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Can I guess his happiest moment?
Yes.
I think it's when he thought, I've run out of shaving foam, but I've stopped shaving.
Dave there is referring to the fact that Alex has a beard, which could do with a little bit of grooming. I think you...
yes, it could.
Do you not think, gentlemen... Mm-hmm. Do you not think that Alex Love looks exactly like
John Peel?
Yes, hang on.
John Peel, the radio DJ.
I've also heard Kenny Everett.
Kenny Everett as well. There,
not as funny as Kenny Everett.
So John Peel is a great radio DJ who worked at the BBC for many, many years, and he's brilliant.
And so is Kenny Everett.
And Kenny Everett is a comedian who worked at the BBC for many years, and he's also brilliant. And both of them are not longer with us, unfortunately. But anyway, he looks alike both of those people, Alex does.
There's a way to tell whether he's Kenny Everett or John Peel. Scouse accents, or can you go, it's in the best possible taste?
Let's see. Yes, I like that.
Scouse
accents. So, John Peel said. John Peel spoke with a Scouse.
I'm a Scouser, you know.
John Peel spoke with a Scouse accent, but Kenny Everett said what?
It's all in the best possible taste.
Okay, so which one can you do? Speak in a Scouse accent from Liverpool, or say it's all in the best possible taste?
Well, I can do a slight impression of John Peel.
Go on then.
Oh, all right, I'm John Peel. I present shows on Radio 1. Well, I used to until I died.
That's quite good. Mine is always Branston Sandwich Pickle from Cross and Blackwell.
Mostly because he's not Scouse or Liverpudlian.
Yeah, he put the accent on.
He's from the Wirral. He's from opposite Liverpool.
Can I say that's not Luke's best accent? Luke is a man of like refinery when it comes to accents, and if you were to ask him, he could do a great Robert De Niro.
You. I'm pointing my finger at you. I'm pointing my finger at you. It's my finger.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you. I'm not looking at you, but I'm talking to you. Okay, next question. And the next question is for... Now, I've got to open this up again on my phone. Oh. Okay, here it is. Paul.
Yes,
Paul.
Hello.
Now,
hello.
Gentlemen, please. Can I have one of those?
Same beer.
All right. Radio conditions, please. Okay. Paul, mm-hmm. What's the happiest thing that's happened to you in the last year?
In the last year. If I was to go further than the last year, I would say it was to get engaged to the lovely Gemma. But if we were staying in the calendar 12 months, it would be Arsenal winning the FA Cup final in May of this year, wearing a kit, although quite disgusting, still beautiful.
Okay, so Paul there is referring to the fact that Arsenal won the FA Cup when? 2014, this year?
2014.
2014, Arsenal won the FA Cup. And Paul, this obviously means that you're an Arsenal fan. We already knew that you supported Arsenal, but...
we've had this conversation before.
Tell us just briefly what Arsenal means to you, Paul.
They make me erect.
Okay. All right, then. Moz, it's your turn.
Can I say, unfortunately, I was urinating.
For God's sake. They don't need to know that.
Yeah, this is important.
They don't need to know what you were doing in the toilet.
But I came back in just as Paul Langton was laughing very loudly, and I take it he said something that was derogatory.
You'll have to listen to the podcast again to find out what happened.
But you said erect.
Erect.
Yeah, we're not... Never mind. We're not going to go into it.
We're not dwelling on erect.
Okay.
I'm never going to mention erect again.
Don't never dwell too long on erect. That's what she didn't say. Okay, right, so...
worth the money then, wasn't it?
My
carry
question.
On.
Gentlemen, please.
Yeah.
Last time.
Studio conditions. Imagine it's the BBC. Here we are at the BBC.
Where? Jimmy, where's the kids? Anyway.
Here we are now at the BBC. Everything's... where everything's under control.
Can't tell what it is yet.
The police. Okay, right. The gentlemen are now explaining the fact that the BBC recently has been... the BBC, as we know, is like a national treasure, okay? It's the sort of main sort of broadcaster for many, many, many years, and it's been with us for so long now. It's given us so many things, Doctor Who, other TV shows. Amazing place. Yeah. Now the BBC is slowly being dismantled. The right-wing press keep hounding it because for some reason they hate the idea of the BBC, which is not a commercial operation, right? And the other thing that's rocked the BBC recently is the fact that there's been a scandal of paedophiles at the BBC.
Pedos. Jeez.
Yeah, it's really, really, really weird. And, like, lots of TV presenters that were kids' TV presenters when we were kids, they've been arrested for being just dodgy. Like, seriously.
Wrong.
Yeah, yeah, for being
wrong.
They've been arrested for sex abuse charges. I can't believe these presenters on the BBC.
So who's next then? That's what we want to know.
Well, Mars, you worked at the BBC for some time, I believe.
I can't talk about what I was told the other day by a member of the BBC, but I've been told there's a list of 20 that we're not allowed to talk about.
It's an unbelievable scandal, and I think it's very strange. And some of the presenters that we used to watch on TV every day have been arrested for sex
Danger
abuse charge. Yeah, I mean, it's really weird. Anyway, yeah.
E-man.
So what I was trying to say is, chill out, okay? Chill out.
Radio conditions. Chill out, everyone.
Moz, here's your question.
Yep.
What's your first job? And how did you like it?
That's
what was your first job and how did you like it? Gentlemen, please.
That's a terrible question.
You can answer it too.
Is that from Hiroshi?
Hiroshi,
thank you for that question. That's an interesting question to have because I started working when I was about 8 years old. And I worked for a Victorian museum. This is not BS, which is a phrase meaning bullshit, which means lies. This is truth. When I was 8 years old, I worked for a Victorian museum. My mum worked there, and the idea was we'd pretend to be Victorians. My mum pretended to be... A chemist assistant, and I was a shoeshine boy.
So, right. So your first job was to pretend to be a Victorian shoeshine boy, and how did you like it?
It was okay. They couldn't pay me in money because I was 8 years old, but they paid me in licorice, hard licorice.
What's licorice?
Licorice is...
Alex, what's licorice?
Oh, it's a sweet thing. And
sweet thing?
Yeah, sweet. Sweet. So you can buy it in a confectionery, and it's often black, and it tastes like licorice.
It tastes like licorice, yes, Dave?
Can I tell you what my first job was?
Yeah, we're going to come to that in a minute, okay?
No, I just thought...
Have you finished, Moz?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, Dave, tell us about your first job.
I was a waiter in a Chinese restaurant.
Right, that makes sense, because you're not Chinese, not at all. But how did you like it?
I can't speak any Chinese. I just know Kung Kei Fo Choi.
What does that mean?
Happy New Year in Cantonese.
Oh, yeah?
I was having great fun with all the waitresses. But,
the Chinese waitresses?
Yeah.
You were flirting with them?
More than that, yeah.
Whoa. More than flirting with them? What comes next after flirting? I don't get it.
Lemon chicken.
What the hell?
Luke, explain that to you.
I have no idea what that means. Honestly, I swear.
Well, I
really don't know what you're talking about there. That your first stage is flirting, which everyone knows. You got flirting, and then the next stage from flirting is more than that, and it's lemon chicken. What's that? That's hilarious, but I don't know why.
I think lemon chicken is commitment. Isn't it?
Oh, right.
Because you would only get like a takeaway with someone you love.
Right. You've lost me there. I'm a bit lost. Right. So where were we? The questions. Right. So Alex, why don't you tell us about your first job?
Well, there are two possible options for that. Firstly, you could is a paper round a job.
Wait a minute. Is a paper round a job?
Yes,
what's a paper round?
Paper round is where you deliver newspapers to people.
You ride around on a bike. Oh, you're a paper boy.
Yeah.
Is a paper round a job?
Yeah.
Of course it is. Yeah.
Well, there you go. There you go.
So just tell us about your paper round. How long did it take? How often did you do it? How did you like it?
It took me about half an hour. I had 9 papers to deliver, so it's a lot of responsibility.
9 papers? Just 9?
Yeah, 9. You say that, though, but if people don't get the papers, they're going to be annoyed.
You had 9 people? 9 houses? Yeah. That's nothing.
So what's your times, the Times, the Telegraph?
No, he means 9 individual papers for 9 customers.
Was it a large amount of papers, as in broadsheets and tabloids, as we call them in the UK, larger papers and smaller papers, or was it just the local rag, or as we call it in the UK, the local rag?
The local paper, little paper.
It was a mixture of those options.
Two local papers, three tabloids.
No, there's one local paper. Actually, do your research. And
I was quite close with 2.
Yeah.
It's not accurate, though. You know, you don't want to fool your listeners, do you?
And it was a guess.
Yeah, but, you know, do your research. So, there was one local, but that was the Western Daily Press, which is a local newspaper for the Western area. In southwestern,
and then Western Supermare.
Is that in the western area of southwestern Western?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, oh, you've heard of it. You're aware of it.
The western area of southwestern Western.
That's correct.
Have they found Mrs. Muggins's cat yet?
Yes, they have. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
All right.
30 years. It took 30 years. People.
Okay. So where were we? What were we saying?
Papers.
First job. First your paper job. Round. You had 9 papers.
9 papers.
Just 9.
Take you 3 minutes. Saturday morning was a lot more difficult. The papers were heavier.
Now let me see. I bet you had to ride a long distance because it was in the countryside.
Yeah.
Okay. So that makes it. That's different.
It reminds me of a song, American Pie. Good news on the doorstep. I think the lyric went.
Was it good news on the
doorstep? Take one more step.
Was it good news on the doorstep, Alex?
It depends what it was. If you want a good service, then I'm definitely your man. But if it's in terms of the
lady,
I was underage then, so don't get any ideas because technically that's illegal in.
Okay.
He was there.
Right, I see.
You were delivering readers' wives.
Yeah, and also such shit. I was also.
Let's not talk about readers' wives, okay?
Can you explain readers' wives?
Oh, I have to explain readers' wives.
You don't.
All right, some. Certain magazines in the 1970s, they would have been called jazz magazines.
Jizz.
Or jizz magazines, even. Yeah. Okay, so porn adult magazines, right? And in sometimes there would be several pages in one of these magazines that would be the feature known as readers' wives. And that's when the wives of the readers of these magazines, they're not reading them, are they? They're looking at pictures. But anyway, the wives of the people who buy this magazine the readers of the magazine would send in sexy pictures of their wives, which would then be printed within the pages of these dodgy magazines. Paul has something to say on this subject. You're normally a little quiet, but you've definitely got something important to bring to the table here.
My first job was working for a supermarket here in the UK called Tesco's. I was working as what they call a shelf stacker. So I made sure that the different aisles of grocery foods, such as tinned foods, tuna, maybe vegetables, maybe meat, are up to date and ready for the clientele of the supermarket. To go back to readers' wives.
No, I don't think we need to be talking about Alex.
I just want to find something out. Paul, how old were you when you had this job at Tesco?
How old were you, yes?
I was 16 years of age.
16. So, Paul, Alex wins because he had a job at 8 years. Mars wins.
Can I just say to the audience, I'm sticking my two middle digits.
Explain why is that
significant? Arrow,
allegedly. Allegedly, people always say it's to do with the Normans.
Wait. We're sorry. We need to explain the finger gesture that Moz is doing. So if you hold your two fingers up with the back of your hand facing out,
which I believe Winston Churchill did in error.
Yeah.
During the World War.
And that means, in England, that's a very rude gesture, and it means piss off, right? it's a bit similar to in America, the way they do the middle finger. Flipping the bird.
Not an important
thing.
Can I make an interesting observation there? Because I worked, as we've mentioned before, I worked for the BBC for many years in compliance. And compliance are the people who basically, if there's rude things that are going to be on TV, they're the people who decide, like paedophiles, will decide what's right and wrong on TV. And I always said that two fingers, I'm doing the Winston Churchill, you might have seen it on the famous pictures, it's your, not your thumb, but your index finger and your middle finger together, and that's the sign for V. But on British TV, apparently that means, can I say the words? It's P-O, piss off.
I just said it.
Oh, you just said it, but it also apparently means F-O.
It means fuck off as well.
I'm allowed to say fuck off, but I never knew that, so I always thought that meant piss off. Piss off is lighter than fuck off.
Yeah, piss off is less serious than fuck off.
But
doing your fingers, I always thought it was like the same level of rudeness as piss off.
No, it's
not as bad as fuck off.
It's entirely different. I thought the same when I started because I used to edit out programs. And if someone were to stick up their two fingers like that, I would say that is a piss off. That's kind of up yours. Which is kind of a Victoriana kind of swear word, you know. Yeah. Queen Victoria, quite light, but apparently it means F-off, which we just said, which is fuck-off, which is one of the major rude words.
Yeah.
So that would be edited out.
Really?
Moz, I thought you were going to come with an interesting fact about the the archer's fingers, because that's where that term is supposed to originate from. Two fingers. No.
So they say that the fact that we show our two fingers, not in the peace gesture, not like the peace sign that you make if someone takes a photo of you, but the other way round. Yeah, that's like the F off.
It was apparently it was always the archers, wasn't it? That the archers would
longbow archers
would stick up their two fingers above the parapet to say, look, I've still got my two fingers.
There was during the battle against the French, when the English fought against the French at the Battle of Agincourt. They won. Yeah, Henry V, Henry V, it's a Shakespeare play, and you see the Battle of Agincourt and Henry wins. But during that battle, England had lots of very, very accurate archers who would fire arrows at the enemy. And the story goes that when English archers would see French soldiers, they'd stick up their fingers at them to show them, look, I've still got two fingers, I'm going to get you. And that's often what people say when they talk about the two fingers, but apparently it's not true.
I can't remember at the moment the absolute truth, but apparently it's not true.
Okay, all right, there you go.
It's one of the same things like in the in the Roman Empire, like when
make it entertaining.
You're talking about two fingers up.
Yeah.
I believe it's to do with a sign we made to the French, ever so sorry, French. But basically, to mean we have still got two fingers, so we can draw our bow.
We just explained that. David just come back into the room. He went out to get a couple of bottles of local beer.
I believe
I believe that the two finger salute is the fact that we have in this country Helena Bonham Carter, who is small yet tight, so she can only take one finger.
Okay. I don't think we need to go in that direction now. Now, I
just wanted to see how far I could take it.
See
with
what
Luke.
And is this the Benny Hill? Is this the Benny Hill show?
It could well be, couldn't it? At this rate,
can I enter the music?
No, really, no. I don't think we need the Benny Hill music at this point. Right, so. So can I just point out at this moment that it's now about 1 hour and 10 minutes into the episode, and we really need to draw things. We need to draw things to a close. We've achieved absolutely nothing.
Once you've edited all the crap bits out, that'll be down to about 5 minutes.
I'm not going to edit any of it.
Can I just point out that yes, I agree with Luke. We've been talking for about an hour, and we've got to think about what we're going to put out there for you. Maybe it's down to Luke to edit.
And Hiroshi. Hiroshi, this is for you.
It's for no one else. As always, it's for you, baby.
Okay. Right. So we're going to draw this episode to a close now, gentlemen. Okay.
Summary?
So the summary is: we've sat in a boat, we've talked for an hour and 10 minutes or so, we've achieved almost less than nothing, if that's even possible. And Moz has got something to say.
But unlike the last episode when I babbled like a baby, I apologise. I'm a little bit more coherent this time.
Slightly more coherent than last time. I think so. So, let's see. Okay, so it's getting late. I think it's time to wind the podcast down. So I'd just like to ask you at this point if you've got anything else that you would like to say to the people of the world. You've got the ears of the world. Okay, I told you where my listeners come from, the different variety of countries. Now you've got the ears of the world. What would you like to say to the people of planet Earth? Paul Langton.
I would like to say that I really do appreciate you all listening to the English podcast. Luke's English podcast. I appreciate you to listening to the English podcast.
Luke's English podcast.
No. Enjoying it. It's not about Luke. He'd like to think it's about Luke, but it's not. Well done for listening to the English podcast supplied by Luke. Enjoy.
Okay, thank you very much, Paul Langton. Now, who... Yes, Paul. Dave, you got something to say now. So the people of planet Earth.
Well, all I can say is I'm just cock-a-hoop about everything. It's been brilliant. And I'm definitely going to find you on the internet and tune in.
Okay, excellent stuff. Thank you very much, Dave. By the way, when he said that, he's holding a bottle of beer in his hand. The name of the beer is Cock-a-hoop. But we also... Cock-a-hoop. Cock-a-hoop. Okay, and that's a phrase you say when you're really happy. I'm cock-a-hoop. C-O-C-K-E-R-H-O-O-P. I'm cock-a-hoop. And it's also the name of a beer. Right, Moz, your opportunity to say something to the citizens of planet Earth. Here you go.
I just want to say, I love you all.
Okay, very sweet.
It's the way you say it.
I love you all.
I love you all.
Oh, dear. Really, Moz.
Whoa.
Really, Moz. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Me?
On, it's not one of your stand-up routines. This is Luke's English podcast. Do you know what that means?
Just English podcast without any Luke.
Award-winning Luke's three, English pop.
Three times.
How many Sonys have you got?
I've got a Walkman. I've got a Discman.
Blu-ray.
I've got a Blu-ray. I've got three Sonys.
PlayStation.
Okay. So thank you very much, Moz, but not for the rude bits. We didn't appreciate that. Alex, it's your chance to say something to the people of the world. What do you have to say?
I'd like to thank Hiroshi for providing with such insightful questions that have well have changed the fate of the human race.
Yeah, maybe this could be the podcast that changes it all. Maybe all the leaders of the world will be listening to this as usual. I know that they do. And this is the one that's going to make them think, well, let's just not bother doing anything now because it's just pointless, isn't it? Clearly, this is the state of the culture in the world. We shouldn't bother. Moz has got something to say. I'm not sure I'm going to let him do it, but here we go.
No, Luke, I just think hopefully your listeners enjoyed our Brighton podcast last couple of years. They were good on the beach and in the cafe. And hopefully if we all do it again soon, we'll do Brighton podcast. So if your listeners want it, let us know and we'll do it again.
Naked.
Oh, that was...
Hot! Hot! Hot!
Shh!
on that bombshell, I suppose, it's time to end this episode of Luke's English Podcast, which has taken place here on a boat. Alex next to me is giggling like some sort of naughty schoolboy. Everyone's looking a bit sheepish, but...
Let's go fuck a seagull!
We're all... I think we're going to go and fuck a seagull now. So we've got important things to do. So thanks again for listening to Luke's English Podcast. And on behalf of us all, it's goodbye. Bye, bye, bye. Bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.